And a good Wednesday morning. Welcome into In Focus News Radio KMAN. I'm Brandon Peoples, and we are chatting today. We've got a couple segments, actually. We'll have Manhattan Fire Department on later in the show around 9:30. We're going to start off, though, talking USD 383 Manhattan Ogden Schools. They have a meeting tonight, actually a couple of them, a work session and a regular business meeting. And I'm going to chat with Superintendent Marvin Wade, who joins me on the telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Brandon.
And also via telephone, we have Kurt Herman, school board member. Mr. Herman, good morning.
Good morning, Brandon.
It's a pleasure to have you both on. We're working through the final stages of the 2019-2020 school year. Aren't we about a week to go? Is that right, Mr. Wade?
It is. Seniors' last day is tomorrow, and then for all the other students, it will be next Wednesday. So we really are wrapping it up here.
I imagine there's going to be a collective sigh of relief when the school year finally wraps up. Is that safe to say?
Definitely. It's in some ways we still feel like we haven't seen the students since before spring break, other than virtually. So, in some ways, people are feeling like we've already been off a long time, and now here we are going into the summer vacation. It's really been strange for a lot of reasons. So I think the sigh of relief is going to be that we've made it through this continuous learning plan and can focus our attention on this summer and on when school resumes next August.
Very good.
And I'd also like to point out that, you know, our teachers have really risen to this occasion. They've always worked very hard, but this has been, this is new ground. This has never been done before, and so our teachers work very hard. They're putting together the packets. The ones out here that I talked to, they miss the kids more than anything. And, they did the parade, through the neighborhoods. And it is Teacher Appreciation Week also this week. So I just really appreciate all they do for us. And they always put kids first.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and as far as the feeding is concerned, I know that there's meals that have been delivered. A lot of meals have been given out to kids. Is that going to continue into the summer at some capacity, Mr. Wade?
It's going to continue. Right now we've got it set up where it's going to continue the way it has been up to now, and we're still waiting on some guidance from the state and from the federal level as far as how we can do the feeding sites through the summer. So we will have it in one form or another. It's just whether or not we have to transition from the continuous learning process we've had now to more of a traditional summer feeding, except that we know we can't pull the kids together in like a cafeteria and feed them all together. We know we can't do that. So I guess that's a long answer to, yes, we will have the program in the summer to feed students.
Very good. And I know a lot of planning still going on behind the scenes as far as, the summer activities. I know next week I'm planning to talk to somebody about the STEM summer learning program. So I won't ask you anything about that because we're going to get some details on that, I believe, on Monday. But, there's a lot of work going on, and I know you still probably have some decisions coming up with the new school year as well in the fall.
We do. Want me to talk just a little bit about that?
Yeah, go ahead if you'd like.
Okay. Well, with the summer programs, we spent quite a bit of time just looking at all the different we have a lot of different programs going on in the summer, and we looked at all of those different programs from the standpoint of what can we do now and through the rest of the summer to help better ensure that we'll be back to a normal school year August 12th when school is to resume. And with that in mind, we did end up canceling programs that required face-to-face instruction during the summer. So those programs will not be offered, but we are offering several virtual programs. Like you said, the summer STEM is going to be virtual. But some of the programs we're not going to have this summer, it's unfortunate, and this does not mean future summers we won't bring them back. But for this summer, we're not going to be able to do the Flint Hills Summer Fun Camp, the English Language Learner Newcomer Academy. That was something we've got going that, again, hate to see us not be able to do that. The Amanda Arnold Child Care Program, the Raising Riley Camp Kindergarten, the preschool summer program with Head Start at College Hill. That's for 3 to 5 year olds. We're not going to be able to do that. And then we've got programs with Boys and Girls Club and the district, both. There's the 21st Century Learning Centers and the Kansas Reading Roadmap. We will not have either one of those at any of the sites here in Manhattan in the district. And you know, I should mention some of those programs that we will be having. We will have the Summer STEM. We will have the Credit Recovery, the Success Options Program at Manhattan High School, Manhattan Virtual Academy. And then there's going to be a modified summer reading program, where as opposed to the students coming together at a library site, we will get books out to the students during the summer reading program. And driver's education, we've had a lot of questions about that. We don't plan to have new enrollees for the summer for driver's ed, but students that are in driver's ed in the spring, provisions are being made for them to be able to complete their book work. And then as soon as the social distancing guidelines allow for people to be closer than 6 feet together, then they'll be able to get in the cars and go out and do that required driving component. So we don't know when that will be, but that is part of our plan, is to be able to allow them that opportunity to complete their driver's ed this summer, if at all possible. And I think that covers most of them.
A lot of questions that I've been getting, Dr. Wade, is what we're going to do in August, what our plan is, and I think it's our current expectations that we will return to pre-COVID operations when we return back to on August 12th.
You know, that's the plan right now. That is the plan right now, would be to do that. But there's the caveat of we're looking at, there's other options. I was on a Zoom yesterday where conversations have started about personalized learning, blended classrooms, staggering schedules, just a lot of different opportunities that could be put into place if necessary. If we're not ready August 12th, or if there were to be a second or third wave, whatever it is of COVID, for us to have plans. What we put together with the continuous learning plan worked well, but that was put together quickly. Now we can revise that just in case there's future needs. So, again, like you said, Kurt, you know, August 12th, but then we're also going to have some other plans in place that we'll be presenting later. But part of the issue with that is, just like with the continuous learning plan, there's requirements from the state that have to be met. And in order for us to change, like the 1,116 hours that are required, we have to have guidance. We have to have the legislature or the State Board of Education tell us we can do otherwise. So that's going to be part of it with this, is what options are there that are out there that we can do that will meet the expectations of the state. So that's part of the planning process as well. But we are looking at that, and we'll be making some more reports during the summer, knowing, you know, we've only got 3 months until then to get all this together.
Yeah, I mean, it seems... go ahead.
Oh, I would also like to see that. I mean, you know, there's a lot that we've learned through this process, too, and I'd sure love to make sure we take a look at the efficiencies and the effectiveness that we've gained from teaching remotely and from having this type of teaching as well. I mean, like, I think Mike Ribble had pointed out that in the state of Georgia, they don't have snow days, they have tech days. So whenever the schools are closed because of snow, they can still have school through technology. So there's some kind of interesting things we can do in the future with this.
And you're right, we have learned a lot from pushing out the devices and getting 5th grade through 12th grade using devices. We've got a couple of pilots with K through 4 looking at specifically for feedback about which of our platforms work well, where do we need additional training, where do we need just extra help, different resources in order to really make it work on a larger scale. So, you know, that's exactly the kind of things we're looking at now.
Yeah, absolutely. I bet you guys value the Manhattan Virtual Academy probably more than you ever have, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Well, we've always valued it so much.
Right.
No, but I know what you mean, because I mean, really, we were a little bit ahead of the curve as far as, you know, we had it. It's at a smaller scale, but we already been doing it for. Actually, we've been doing we've had our virtual school actually since I was even before on the board. So we're talking back in 2007, 2006 is when we started.
Yeah, that's is something that I think is I didn't know much about until the beginning of the school year, and then coming into this whole pandemic, virtual learning's become the thing now, and so it's fascinating, and it will be interesting. You're right to see all the lessons that we learn out of this. Let's take a quick time out. We'll get into some of the meeting agenda items tonight, including redistricting. We'll do that coming up after the break.